What is it like for a pizzeria to experience growing pains? It's super important to have your systems. Sometimes systems don't get followed. In today's conversation, we are joined by Al the Pizza Buddha and the team over at Acre Pizza to sit in on a real live consult, y'all. It's pretty dope. A little bit of back history. Al helped Steve start up Acre Pizza. Now Al's primary thing is pizza consulting, and he actually does a consulting job for Acre Pizza. He starts off by doing some discovery. He goes to the three shops that they have. He checks out the dough, talks to the staff, watch people make some pizza. And to say it kindly, he was pretty disappointed with what he saw. And so it was Al's job really to get the team back on track. So in this conversation, he'll be joining us on a team meeting where Al talks to Lupe, the head of production, Claudia, the head chef, Courtney, the office manager, and Steve, the owner. It's a pretty cool opportunity to sit in on something like this. So I want to thank the staff at Acre Pizza for being so open, for sharing some of the challenges that they're going through in this growth period, and for giving us the opportunity to learn from them. What I will say is that Acre Pizza is a fantastic operation, and to see what they're doing at three locations, well, I can only imagine what it's gonna look like after 5 or 10. So keep on rocking it. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show, and remember to always ask, what's good dough?
We've always had a challenge with this communication with the dough, even since I was here. And I think the best way, and now that Lupe's built a team and you guys have gotten this volume of doing bigger production, and this has turned into a commissary now. This is really a commissary. And you guys have done a great job with the color coding, the bins, and I see it with the produce already. You're doing excellent. But I think on the dough management side, it would be best if we eliminate Claudia and Lupe's positions. Got to be a little bit more separated, in the sense that they shouldn't have to, we shouldn't have to expect Claudia to tell Lupe what Lupe needs to produce for dough. I think the better route to go is, since Betty is already managing the production aspect of it, Lupe takes on more of that role of managing the overall kitchen needs here at the production. Now, the way I say go about that is, maybe Lupe, you can delegate more of your time off of the production hour to where I propose every, you know, 2-3 days on your way home, you're stopping by Cotati, you stop by the Barlow, you walk in. There's something about the dough production person. When you're the one making the dough tray, me and you both know, because we make dough, I can tell you when I get to the Barlow when I made that tray and when I even held it. I can remember the dough ball touching it. And we know how many batches we make. Oh, I had a batch that was a little bit hot. Where am I gonna put that one? So to manage this better, deploying Lupe to do a visual inspection of all your stores. Then Lupe can come back, you report back here, you mix all of the polishes at that ideal time. No longer depend on Jessica or the staff here, because at the end of the day, the problem here is not the production, it's the communication. Mm-hmm. And I think if we were to eliminate that chain.
Lupe's in the Barlow one day a week, right?
Well, but yeah, let's get you more mobile.
You need her here a lot, though.
Well, just to spot check. I'm not saying go work there. Drive by the store.
Any feedback you have, though, is now's the time to speak up.
No, I agree with Alan.
Okay, good. I just want you to come back.
No, this is a good idea.
Yeah.
I don't want you to come back a week from now.
Because I know we have the people now. We have people that want to do more hours. We have a lot.
Well, I don't want to increase my payroll too much.
No, I know. Yeah.
I think on the management side, where you're going to save on that payroll question is your yield, your loss is going to go away, and you're overstaffing or you're overstocking, right? Just in my tour yesterday with Steve and Idriff, when we went around, I see a lot of, there's dough all over the place, and the management of what came in, they're not rotating. So an in-store, and where Lupe, where I say this becomes Lupe.
And then the delivery driver, Manny.
Yeah.
He isn't managing.
No, he rotates, but then he gets confused about what he pulled. So there needs to be some kind of sticker on.
Well, it's not even that. It needs to be the production manager's job, where I say the production kitchen lead managing all of the production is doing a visual check, right? You're coming in and you know when that came out of here, when your team produced that, you're almost doing a quality control and audit of the location is what I propose. And once you'd gather that information, you in your mind are able to know what you have in stock here in Petaluma to produce it. You're no longer going to run into the shortage like, oh, Claudia just asked for this much flour and I don't have enough flour to produce that. And Steve, I need the salt for the cookies. Or we can eliminate a lot of that running around you guys are doing. And that's where I see the only weakness here at Acre right now is where I, at the end, saw that poor quality pizza last night. And that was where I got really concerned. I was like, whoa, why is the dough so old? And it's been, even the last trip I came here, I did notice, I was like, oh, we're still, and I just honestly didn't have enough time to address it for you guys in that trip. So now that I'm here for this weekend, I propose we do this audit and you guys can, you know, meet amongst and voice your opinions, you know, like, but I think that may solve this dough quality, because at the end of the day, like I said earlier before I got here, and this is why this trip is important, it's bringing us back to why we started Acre. When Claudia and me and you were in the back of the Barlow hand dividing those dough balls on that table, and we were putting them in that double door refrigerator, and that next day we were using the dough and those crusts were huge and crispy in the bottom, and that was where we need to get back to. I think if we can get back to there, and I'd mentioned some tips to Steve to get us really up there of getting on the One Bite app, and that's what Courtney can help us spearhead, is getting our rankings on One Bite,
app.
So that's more important these days than I think than Yelp and Google. Because the day we get Portnoy here and we get an 8.5 plus, that's the day that you guys, I know it's coming because I had a scouter come to one of my clients in Hawaii. So they're actively out there, and that's how I found out he's scouting the locations. Anyone over 8.0 and above, he's looking at you and he's going to potentially come to your area. And where we are, there's a lot of other pizza places starting to come up. You got Psychic Pie, you got Pizzalia. They're all doing good pizza and they're only striving to get better. And that's where we got big. And that's the concern when you scale, is you start to cut corners or overproduce.
Yeah, so we understand. So we'll have to just like look at this ordering system in Claudia. It would be helpful if we do have to order something. Lupe is not there to assess that we get it to her early enough so they can make the pulish for the, so it's a 3-day process. She needs to know the day before the pulish, and the pulish is used to make the dough that can be used the next day. So it's a 3-day lead time.
And it's really important, like me and Lupe on the dough subject and what I saw in the recipe, we were way underhydrated. Lupe and Betty saw a completely different dough than what they've been mixing here. So that right there already, and you saw the dough, we're gonna see a beautiful pizza at the Barlow coming out tomorrow, back to where you guys are feeling super confident behind there. And that, just watching your pizza maker last night, the guy in the line, he was hacking at that dough ball, trying to open that thing up, because it's just the process.
I noticed the pizza here yesterday, I guess I was the one, I saw a pepperoni come out and it wasn't even look cooked.
No, because it's over dark. Or they're begging for color because it's just dead. The dough is dead. And Idriff brought this up to me, because in pizza land, we do see black dots, but the biggest concern is your dough has gone brown. It's gray. So when you see a gray dough ball, and you should see white dough with black dots, but when you see a gray dough, it's like taking someone and giving them freezer burn in the mountains, and you stuck your hand in there and you get frostbite. That's what's happened to the dough. You shocked it.
How often are you thinking, like, for Lupe's schedule to do, like,
it only needs to be really 2 times a week, probably. She goes by each location and looks in the walk-in and does a visual inspection, develop a guide, an audit sheet. You guys need to have an audit sheet for your commissary production, right? Okay. So all of that bulk prep that you guys
are
doing.
That's another thing too. We want to make sure that we're rotating our dressings, which we're pretty good about.
Well, and that's what Lupe, I say, that is your responsibility in conjunction with checking in with Claudia. This is where the quality, Claudia's expectation to Lupe is like, hey, the quality's doing great, or hey, the onions were amazing this week, or keep doing what you're doing with that dressing, rather than Claudia have to be, she's busy running the store already. She's got a lot to manage in there versus putting in buy right, Andy's. That's a lot. And even when I was here, three stores is a lot. Joyride, when I was doing that, that's a challenge, guys. And that's a lot of work. It's a big ask for the two of these guys.
She never complained. They never complained.
No, but I get it. But you're amazing at what you do, but it's known, right?
I like the idea of Lupe being accountable for the dough.
And the bulk prep. All of the bulk stuff where I see you guys in the store now, in the Barlow, in Cotati, all of those bulk bins. Mm-hmm. Now they're feeding out of them, right? They're filling their inventory. So they're... You got your staff in there, and it's not their fault. It's really training. When they're busy, they run in there without a glove and their bare hands, and they stick their hand. You've just contaminated the entire bin, not contaminated it to where it's stale. You've ramped up the aging of it now. So its chance to go stale is a lot quicker now. So you got to move that product.
And then is Lupe the one that's going to be in charge of, like, really rotating herself?
Yeah, where is everything at, right? When did your driver is your team, right? Yeah. Your driver is responsible. Your driver is so critical to you because he is the main component taking your beautiful product to the locations.
Yeah, but our driver, like, I already told him like three times that we make a batch. One stack is one batch. So he takes him to the store and adds six more trays of another batch to that batch.
We need to stop that. We need to sit
down
and talk.
I told him like three times.
We'll talk to him.
And so maybe she needs to go a little bit more with the driver.
Maybe we go, maybe one time we do a delivery with him.
Or when you show up in the store, you're having your store leads really receiving that and doing a visual inspection of, hey, this is product that came in. I'm not going to incorporate this into inventory until I'm done with this. Or what I'm seeing in the stores is you guys were slow this week. The production hasn't been addressed. So you guys are still producing at the same level you were in December. Guess what's happened? There's a lot of old inventory that you guys are sitting on. So now the quality, because we're worried about throwing away stuff. And at the end of the day, we're here for quality. Let's find a food bank to donate that from. Let's use the Slice Out Hunger guys to donate the pizzas. Let's do a bake-off and bake off 30 Detroits one day and drop them off at the homeless shelter, cheeses, and get rid of all those old par bakes. All that old dough we have there, let's get rid of that some other way. Let's, as a management team, be more on our toes about that. So Steve isn't just gonna go, hey, let's throw all the dough in the dumpster. Let's address that sooner.
So we got that, and then we're gonna start freezing the Detroits and the Sicilians once we reset the walk-in.
That's another thing where you guys are seeing the Detroits in your store.
Where we've had some moldy Detroits too.
That's where it's happening, guys. That's where it's happening. So a refrigerator rapid ages product. It removes moisture. That's what it does. When you put it in a freezer, it preserves it, right? That's what a freezer's doing. That's gonna lock in the hydration. So that's what we were saying. Tomorrow morning, we're gonna come in here and readdress the freezer. I think you guys are over-ordering SoCo meat still. It's been
We haven't ordered actually for a while. Steve wanted to.
Well, we're going down. We're gonna have less. And so.
So is the SoCo meats getting delivered here, then getting distributed to the stores?
Not the sausage though, right?
No, it is.
Why don't we have the sausage go back to the stores directly?
No, because we send them in buckets, remember?
We don't have to do that though. We send them in boxes. We don't need to send them in boxes.
Why can't we just go back to old school and just ordering SoCo meats directly to each location because they'll deliver?
We already, like today, for example, SoCo, we've had a problem with the metal from the sausage casing ending up in two pizzas over the last 2 months. So what we're doing today, SoCo's sending us 1 pound tubes because it'll be less of a chance.
But why did they go back to those casings? We were on those casings.
They switched their whole process. And so we're getting 1 pound chubs today. And I think that those could be on the line and then they just pinch out what they need. But
so I'm gonna say we address that.
So you get 5 pizzas out of one thing. So they eventually.
I'm concerned of that.
We had a metal one last week again.
You know, so why can't we just ask them to just do hamburger patties for us?
Well, they were doing those little.
Yeah, why don't we just do the pucks?
I mean, they are.
Why can't we just go back to the pucks and then putting them in our own portion bags?
We don't want to do that either. Unless we do it in the store, we can just do it there.
Yeah.
But I'll talk to them. We're trying the chubs today just to see.
I think where I'm concerned of that per health department, and I made it a point yesterday to Idra, is the health department and the cross contamination.
So what we can do today, though, when those chubs come in, Claudia, we have bags there. We can take each chub and put it into 5 baggies, and that's
then you're portioning in the stores again.
But
labor.
Just to get rid of this case, and we need to do something because
you guys got to go back to the
no
patties.
Longer works there. They have a whole new staff, so they're all like.
Can you talk to them about just sending you hamburger patties that are cryovacked in the little logs?
They can do that, but they're 100 gram portions or 90 gram portions.
Yeah.
They're little things, yeah. I'll talk to them.
And then in the store, you guys just have one case of those in your freezer. When you need them.
We have this store doing that because.
That's where we're going to address the freezer issue.
Yeah, we want to get rid of all. We don't need to have all that inventory. So the only thing you need to get here is ground beef, and that can be frozen, or it can be coming fresh. The stuff can be delivered every week.
Let's talk about the bacon. I saw it yesterday.
Yeah, bacon is an issue too.
You guys are way over cooking that. So I think what you are doing is you're overcrowding the pan. Put less on the pan and cook it for a little bit lighter.
Because you're
charring the ends.
When you send me those numbers, it's like, so the bacon's cost us $9 a pound. But we're losing half the weight in grease. Really, it's cost of $18 a pound for that bacon on that pizza.
You're
it's
losing
crazy.
It, and because then you've lost it there.
Less yield loss.
Well, you're losing it in quality, because on the flavor side, when that cooks into the pizza, there's no more fat. The whole point of the apple with bacon is that fat leaches back into the pie and marries to the cheese.
Yeah, now it's just a dried up.
Well, that's what made the potato bacon pizza so popular here. And that's what I really have been saddened about in the time that I've gone. The potato bacon used to be our most popular pizza, and I've just seen the quality of it.
So how do we cook the bacon less? Make sure it's cooked all the way.
Less on the pan, way less on the pan.
And just quicker cooking time.
Quicker cooking time, way
less. Is that
cooked
in the Rational or the Pizza Master?
The Pizza Master.
There. We need to develop the cook profile in the Rational.
Yeah, I think so. Because that actually has less yield loss.
I think you can engineer that with the team.
Yeah.
If you can engineer a cook.
Scott from Rational how to do it.
Engineer a cook profile, ask Scott what's the ideal.
Would you cut the bacon?
You'll keep the whole strips and then they just hack them after.
Afterwards, that's what I'm wondering if you want to cook it after it's cooked.
Yeah, the more you cut it, the quicker you're going to lose that fat. You want to maintain that fat in that piece while it roasts it out.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah, good idea.
Smaller pieces, your edges are gonna be more prone to dehydrate.
And then I'll show you the sandwiches. We're working on the focaccia for the sandwiches today a little bit, and I think we can get there.
Well, and what I'm developing with this focaccia thing is this is the dough that's back there. It's a straight dough, very similar to what you guys are doing to the Detroit. I'm upping the hydration in that pan dough. Because I think it's very dry and the Detroits look a little too bready.
Have you seen this place in New York? They have one in LA now. It's called Atletico Covina.
Send me that.
Yeah, but just look at some of those sandwiches. They're big, Alistair, they're like this, but they're just very few ingredients.
These are just open-faced flat sandwiches.
No, they close them up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the guy at the sandwich shop we went to yesterday, he was inspired by this. He even told me.
Okay.
So this is the kind of bread.
Yep.
And there's only 3 ingredients like on each sandwich. It's so simple.
It's a Roman dough.
That's what we want. Well, they say it's focaccia, but
it's it's a focaccia. Yeah. So, I mean, and to your question about doing 2 sides and taking, I don't think that's necessary.
I think necessary. Like how they do it,
like they slice it, right? You have to slice it.
Yeah, I think so too. You want the softness inside.
Yes.
So these sandwiches are beautiful. That's what we. So we could take a Sicilian pan and get 6 sandwiches out of it.
Well, what I'm proposing is we actually use the Detroit And here's the workflow I'm thinking and that I was dreaming up last night for this. Because I thought of the Detroit and how in store, the only way to make this bread fresh is to bake it in store every day. So I'm trying to develop a process that you can take, Lupe can take the dough, it's gonna arrive in a small container or Tupperware, relaxed. Claudia just takes it out.
So we have so many containers, how can we put it in bins?
You can just take those little containers and put them in dough trays, and then you have the dough tray filled with the little containers.
But why can't we get a sheet of focaccia, like and just cut into six, like the Sicilian pan, and just cut, bake that and cut that.
Why don't I then just make giant full sheets on the sheet pan?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, then I'll cut that dough and make a giant sheet.
I think it's good day two, but not day three. But if we could...
Well, the deal is where you guys were playing on that Detroit, that's so underhydrated. This is a 70% hydrated dough back there. That's true focaccia bread back there that we're about to make.
I think we want that.
So then if that's the case, this is an easy dough process for me to teach you because we just mixed a bread schedule. That's an 8-minute mix, 2 minutes in second speed, 70% hydration, no starter. You can make it whenever you want. But all you have to do is go back there, fold it. Once I fold it, we're gonna shape it, put it on the pans in big giant chunks, and then we're gonna proof them and those huge sheets are gonna bake in the Pizza Master. And then if we bake the huge sheets, you can cut the full sheet pan in half, bag the slabs, and you ship the slabs out to the store tied up in a bag.
In a bin. And then that's good for 2 days probably.
Yeah. Because the key that's good with focaccia, where it lasts long, is the hydration in the dough. That's why you guys aren't getting a long shelf life.
The reason I'm on fresh bread is because I turned just even yesterday. I don't want to have to cook. The reason we cook sandwiches in pizza shops is because the bread is a day or two old. And so when you cook it, it hides the staleness. But if we can get a fresh bread every day and just make a room temperature sandwich like we had yesterday, it's so much easier than putting them in the oven.
You want to make a high hydration focaccia bread. You want to make a high hydration focaccia dough. And on the production side, for you to manage that, we have tons of full sheet pans and we have proofers here. So we can push out full doughs.
I've tried so many times, I've had her make it 18 ounces.
It's the dough recipe. And it's also the vessel. So those Deloitte pans won't make you focaccia. They'll make you a knockoff one. But the heat conductivity in that pan is too much.
There's something weird with it.
You want that aluminum. The basic sheet pan is the best for focaccia. Because the focaccia is not about the dough or the pan. It's about the oil and the hydration. And how many fold. It never gets cold fermented. It's never been damaged. You're going to see how delicate I am with my hands with it when we pull it out.
When you're making that?
Today.
Are you able to stay?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're going to have the full sheets today.
Okay.
I'm going to bake them.
And we'll make some sandwiches tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we can play with two full sheets today off of all that dough that I made. If that works, I'm here till Monday. We're going to mix again tomorrow. We're going to make polish today. So I'll share with you the recipe of what I mixed today. The hydration was too high. I'm going to come down one or two clicks because I had a little bit excess scrap coming off of that rounder. So once I dial that in, you guys saw the mix today. Their mix time was off too. They were on a really short mix. So that's why the dough was coming off a little bit wonky and undermixed. So you guys were getting chunks in your dough.
And then one more thing before you leave, what I'd like to do is have you look at our slice program. And I'll talk to you about that at a different time.
We made 24 ounce dough balls to deploy.
But also the Sicilians, they're all over the place. I think I tried to set it in the Barlow yesterday with Cesar, for example. He's our pizza cook. Like, let's just make this one style every, because I don't like all the randomness that's happening, all the decision-making, they do crazy.
So I think, is the Sicilian listed as a menu item on the menu? So here's the way I would combat that, and this will solidify your question. You guys should incorporate the Sicilian and the top Sicilian you want that we develop together. Steve, Al. Okay, I like it like this. Okay, I'm gonna write you the plating guide for that and it's on the menu.
We wanna stop the randomness.
That's all we make.
But then Cesar's response was, it was valid. He said, what do we do if we just use it to get rid of other ingredients that we're running, just get rid of it.
That's coming from over prep.
But that's where we still need to circle back with Cesar, because then you're like, well, good point.
Well, he has a good point.
Cesar's making the most random pizzas and we can't.
No, but let's just go back to our original discussion. The over prepping is why that's happened. He's trying to get rid of random excess stuff because you guys have too much old inventory in your store. So it's got to, if we can address this, you lead what's being produced, because as I walk through the stores, I'm seeing you guys grow. All I'm seeing Steve doing again, and where I get nervous on that side is it's going to end up like Acre Coffee again.
We've got
refrigerators and holding the pint. Remember when I first came to Acre and how many pint containers we threw away?
Yeah.
That was insane.
Well, I remember the 80 dozen eggs.
So we're going to do a little template on the slices too.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's the other thing on the admin side I want to address. And I sent Stephen a message, and I think you as kitchen lead, head chef, should be really concerned about is I don't see updated plating guides in the store.
We don't have them. Courtney's supposed to do that. She hasn't done it.
Well, we did it when we opened.
That's Courtney's fault.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
We removed them when we changed the line fridge, and that's my fault.
Like Pizza Buddha.
So, okay, Claudia, since you put yourself on the hot seat, why are they not using scoops on a regular basis, even though we tell them 100 times a day? Why does it, once we turn our backs, there's no portion scoops?
I can ask.
What?
The biggest problem I see here, and don't get mad, but you tell everyone that it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. So everyone does whatever they want to do.
Roasted. Roasted.
No, it's a scoop, though.
It's the owner.
Lupe is calling.
We're going to delete that. Steve's going to give Guyder $5,000 out the back door, be like, hey, edit that out.
I always want to use the scoop.
No, because months already, I already told Claudia if we are or are not using the chili jam. Because every week I throw it out. No, but I asked some of the pizza makers.
I never.
They tell me that they're not using it.
They should. Why not, Claudia?
The chili jam?
Yeah,
you know what else was interesting? Yesterday I said to the pizza maker, hey, why aren't you using the spicy marinara? Because Laura told me, hey, the spicy marinara is still full from last week.
Exactly.
I said, they're not using it on the pizzas.
And I heard...
That's not me.
Caesar say he doesn't use it.
Well, since we're doing this whole dump on the whole roasting, what I saw last night, which is a big concern.
What?
The chef... I made a pizza last night. I made a pie and I said, hey, where's the extra virgin olive oil? And I saw the container of garlic oil. He goes, oh no, we just use that now.
No, that's not right.
And I go, wait. And Idriff saw me like go, wait, what? And he goes, yeah, we use that on everything now. And I go, guys.
No, the only time I use that garlic olive oil is I brush the corners of the Sicilians a little bit.
So something got
dropped. No, but they don't even see me doing that because I'm in the daytime. So they got lazy. Maybe they don't have their, I didn't see the container there yesterday. I was looking for it.
We don't have that one anymore, but we need to put it in the squeeze bottle.
So if you guys are gonna use squeeze bottles, let's address the bottles. Get yellow ketchup bottles. The yellow ones, just for your EVOO, okay? That's the way you distinguish the color.
Write that down for me, Courtney. Thank
yellow
you.
Squeeze bottles just for all of us, since you guys love
usage as opposed to the little thing?
No, don't use the cruets anymore. That's old school. Why? Because you want the way to preserve olive oil is susceptible to light. We use it so fast it doesn't matter, but they're covered.
But they're not going to use more olive oil on each pizza now if it comes out of a squeeze.
Don't cut the tips. That's why I say you use yellow bottles.
Don't cut the tips.
Don't cut the tips.
I'll get those.
Okay, let's talk about vegan cheese. We saw that happen in Cotati. You guys are still using Miyoko's because we had a whole thing. We tried to switch and it didn't work out. Here's how I say we address the vegan cheese. You guys get it out of the squeeze bottles, because me and you both know that at the end of the shift, if I was to go into the dish pit and combine up how much is left in those squeeze bottles from the line, it's probably 7 gluten-free pizzas with vegan cheese. And at the tune of $9 a pound, it's not cool. So let's remove the vegan cheese from the bottles, period. Put it in a six pan and you guys scoop it out, buy a ladle, yellow, handle,
you spoodle. Gotta figure out how many ounces it is.
Buy a spoodle.
I tried yesterday, you said to do 2 ounces, but 2 ounces is just like too little of the thing.
So you need three.
So I did the one that we use for the marinara sauce, that's a 3 ounce. That's the one I use.
And oh, the flat round one?
Yeah, it looked like.
We can just get more of those.
So here's then my next way to address the vegan pizzas to our concern, the sauce. The way I say you guys present the vegan pizzas is you put the sauce in a squeeze bottle or get pancake pourers, you know, the pancake syrup.
Those, yeah.
Use that and put the sauce on top of the cheese in a spiral. So then when you put the sauce on there, the sauce and the cheese are gonna marry together.
I think I like the squeeze bottle better because it won't tip over and spill everywhere, yes.
Well, the pour, the pancake pourer has a 1-inch hole in it.
Remember I bought 5 of those?
That's, I use those in the sauces. You guys should use that for all of your sauces. They work great than the squeeze bottles because you can open them up and clean them out.
Why don't we use those with the pesto? The pesto bottles are also a pain.
Yeah.
Can you do that with pesto? Double it on. So maybe you get better than those squeeze bottles. That's
those pancake pourers are very inexpensive and work very well for the pizza line.
They're from Mallrat.
Yeah, and they're easy to fill. The mouth is much bigger.
For the pesto and the...
We tried, but they didn't like it.
Well, why didn't they like it, though?
Because they like
everything. I bought some so they could fill the ranch. It's much quicker than scooping it, but they didn't like it. So, but I think we should try it with the pesto. Do we have any of those?
The pesto, the problem you're going to have with that is it's just not tempered, so it'll be hard, and you guys will be trying to shake it out of there.
It's also stuck in the bottle half the time, with a lot of waste in the bottle, too.
Well, what I proposed to you guys before, and I'd recommended this the last couple trips I was here, is you guys put it in piping bags. I say if you put it in piping bags, disposable piping bags, and you cut the tiniest tip off of that, just like you would use on the line, you get 100% of the pesto is out of there.
It's fast, yes.
It's 100% faster.
What tip do you use on that?
You don't use the tip, you just cut the bag to the size.
You put piping bags down, we're gonna order all this.
Byright has them.
I have some.
You guys should have them on the roll. Because that's what I've always done with the ricotta.
How do you seal them so they go in?
Zip ties. You use, so you get a piping bag, you take a 4-quart pitcher.
Little baby zip ties?
You use regular full zip ties. Instead of back in the day, you use saran wrap to tie the end of a pastry bag. But the best way that I've found that's worked so well, because I've done it with ricotta for a lot of pizzeria clients, is you use a zip tie. It zip ties it super tight. And then you cut the end of the zip tie, cut the end of the bag so it's clean and you have these beautiful pouches.
Okay.
So I'm doing it right now with the cinnamon roll concept. What they were doing, and this is where I came up with this, how to maximize yield loss. What they were doing at the cinnamon place, you know, inside a cinnamon roll is a lot of sugar. It's their highest cost. They were putting it in a container. They had all this extra in the container and they were blopping it all over. So I came up with putting it in Ziploc bags, cutting the tip, using a zip tie. They squeeze lines onto the cinnamon roll. And then when they go with their scraper, perfectly even across the cinnamon roll, it's actually cutting down their cinnamon roll spreading time for that Cinemix in half. Just by that technique, and they get 100% of the product is gone. So I think piping bags, if you guys can manage that here in this production side and you're just shipping out to the stores bags of pesto,
that would be amazing.
That would solve so many of these transfer issues. You're busy on the line. We need pesto now. It's always like that. Oh my God, we're out of pesto. Okay, put it in the hot water. The dishwasher's back there. Fuck, it's crazy. So bags, they're disposable, but what you guys are losing in the bottles right now is the money. It's all the money.
Well, there you have it. A conversation with Al the Pizza Buddha and the team over at Acre Pizza. Once again, Al and Acre Pizza team, thank you all for being so open with your operation, and I wish you all the luck and success. And to you, the listener, I hope you enjoyed that one, because I sure did. And if you did, reach out to Al, reach out to the team at Acre, let them know what's good dough. Their links will be in the show notes, and don't forget to tune in this Sunday where I have a one-on-one conversation with Al. It's one of those episodes, y'all. It's one of those where you're gonna listen back to back because there are so many golden nuggets. So make sure you're subscribed so you get notified when there's a new show, or sign up for the email list. We'll let you know there too. I appreciate you. I love you. Till next time. Peace.